Well, it would be great if you could have that Bible reading open from Mark. That's Mark chapter 1. As we're in the beginning of our series in Mark. And just a reminder that if you would find it helpful, our live translation is on. So you can go to the QR code and you can have it captioned in English, in Chinese, in Korean and Tamil. If you would find that of help to you. But let's pray as we begin. Lord God, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you'll give us a greater and clearer picture of you, and particularly your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we begin in this series in Mark's Gospel, there are three things that we need to know, and a bonus one. Three things that we need to know. Firstly, Mark is a book about Jesus. It's one of the four biographies about Jesus that are the first four books of the section called the New Testament of the Bible. Mark is about Jesus' life. It's about what he did. It's about what he taught. It's about the people who he encountered. And Mark is trying to communicate something particular about Jesus. Second thing that we need to know is that Mark is an early account about Jesus. Mark probably didn't see Jesus face to face. But from church history and other sources, we can gather that Mark interviewed other people, particularly a bloke called Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and wrote that stuff down. This writing of the gospel, of the very words which we have in our hands, probably happened around AD 60. That is roughly about 30 years after Jesus walked this earth. Which means it's very accurate. In the scheme of ancient history, a 30-year gap from the event of writing to the event is tiny. Just think about this. Just think about someone writing today about the 1990s and interviewing different people. And writing about the Y2K bug that was going to break every single computer and destroy the whole earth. They could write about that pretty accurately, couldn't they? Well, it's the same with Mark. In fact, Mark is so sure about this and so accurate that the other gospel writers of Matthew and Luke quote large chunks of Mark. This stuff that we're going to see in Mark isn't the stuff of fairy tales. This stuff actually happened. So it's about Jesus, it's an early account, and it's fast-paced, until it's not. Mark doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste time or energy on filler. He gets to his point quickly. One of Mark's favorite words throughout the gospel is immediately. The Greek word for this is euthus. He propels the narrative forward, and immediately he does this, and immediately he does that. We get miracles, teaching, narrative thrown at us, left, right, and center. Mark only really steps off the gas until we get to Jesus' death. Mark slows right down at the point of Jesus' last days and spends two chapters in the space of about 24 hours. That's significant. It's almost as if this book is for explaining how this Jesus Messiah could die like a slave on a cross. Well, we'll get to that later in about 12 weeks' time. But there's a fourth thing that we need to know about Mark's gospel. The fourth thing is that it's life-changing. As we open up this book, as I hope some of you already have, and examine the person of Jesus for who he is, We won't just meet a person who we can read about in a textbook, but we're going to meet someone who is alive right now and who can radically transform your life now and your eternity to come. So then, what does Mark say? Let's take a look. Look with me at Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you write an essay, you generally always start off with a topic sentence or a hypothesis that you're going to prove in the rest of your essay. And the rest of the subsequent points, you do the same. You tell them what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you've told them. Well, this is Mark's topic sentence for the whole of his book. He's telling us what he's going to tell us. And he's going to tell us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's break this down even more. What is a gospel? What does the word gospel actually mean? What is Mark actually writing here? Well, the Greek word for gospel is euangelion. Euangelion. And this word means good news. Good news. When Mark was writing, this term was used in various different circumstances, but was often used in military victories. What would happen is that towns would go into battle, countries would go into battle, one would win, and then they would send a messenger back to their hometown proclaiming the good news or the gospel or the euangelion of the victory of that country on the battleground. So Mark is telling us the good news of Jesus. News of the events as what has happened. News of the victory of Jesus. He's not making stuff up. He is retelling the good news. And notice what Jesus isn't. He isn't good advice. He is good news. You know, it's so often that people put Christianity in the realm of good advice. You know, it's good advice to brush your teeth twice a day, get your 10,000 steps in, eat your 2 fruit and 5 veg a day. Oh, and it's good for you to go to church. They lump it in with the same category as that. But no, Jesus isn't like this. Jesus isn't good advice, he is good news. Good advice generally says, do this. Try this. Try this new restaurant. Try this new face cream. Purchase this new gym membership. Get this new robot vacuum cleaner. It's life-changing. Do this new mindfulness practice. But good news is about something that has already been done. Good advice says do this, but Jesus says it is finished. So what we are reading here in Mark isn't a list of good morals to follow. It isn't a list of ways to live your best life now. It isn't a way to get rich fast and have health and prosperity. It's the good news about what Jesus has done for us. This is euangelion. Good news. And it's the good news about Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about Jesus. Here at St. John's, we are a church that is all about Jesus. Christianity isn't about rule following. It's not about religiosity. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus. The very name Jesus means the Lord saves. And Christ means Messiah or Savior. You know, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's his title. It's his position. So Mark is all about the good news of Jesus who saves, who is the Messiah. Now, in modern terms, a Messiah can be seen almost as a bad thing. We sometimes say that when someone who comes along who thinks they are the best thing since sliced bread, that they're going to rescue the world, they have a bit of a Messiah complex. Whether it be a politician or a sports coach or captain or even a minister at a church, a Messiah complex is not a good thing to have. But with Jesus, the title and position of Messiah has its roots deep in the history of Israel, deep in the roots of Jewish history. The history of Israel can be found in the Old Testament section of our Bibles. It kind of has its ups and downs, but is generally on a downwards trajectory. Israel was chosen by God to be his special people, to be his people, and he would be their God. And if they lived with him as their God, it would go well with them. But ultimately, Israel rejected their Lord time and time again. And so they ended up in all sorts of trouble. They ended up in exile from their land for 70 years. After returning, they were still just a small, divided nation under the thumb of foreign rulers. But all throughout Israel's history, we see time and time again God sending messengers or prophets to the nations to tell them that there's going to be something better. There's going to be someone better. There's going to be a savior. There's going to be an ultimate forever king that God is going to send. This person is going to obey God perfectly and lead his people perfectly. The title given for this person is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so throughout the history of Israel, people were looking for this Messiah. By the time that Jesus came, people had given up looking for this Messiah. But here, Mark states it plainly in this topic sentence that his book is about Jesus, who is the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ. He's going to rescue his people. He's going to rescue not just his people, but us, you and me. And he hasn't come to rescue us from an earthly king or earthly power or earthly military, but he's come to rescue us from something so much greater. He's come to rescue us from Satan, from sin, from death, from the darkness that we exist in our relation, our separation from God. He came to give us life, forgiveness, his amazing grace. He is the good news, the Messiah. But he isn't just an ordinary person. Look at me again at verse 1. I promise we're going to speed up. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark also wants us to know that Jesus isn't just an ordinary human with a Messiah complex. Jesus is the Son of God. God in flesh. God himself turned up for us. 100% God, 100% human. He is the God-man. If you are new to St. John's, we did a whole series on this at the end of last year. You can go onto the website and have a listen to it. It's about the incarnation. But all throughout this series, we're going to see time and time again how Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus is the Son of God. Because that's what Mark is all about. Mark is written so that we are left in no doubt after sitting with a good brew that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior and that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the one with the power and authority over everything and that Jesus is completely loving, completely gracious for all who return to him. And that's what Mark talks about in this next section of the introduction. He talks about the preparation for Jesus. He gives the very brief account of the ministry of a bloke called John the Baptist. Mark doesn't give us too much detail here, but he has a very important role here. He came to usher in a new era. He came as the forerunner to Jesus. Look at me at verse 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." See, John is the forerunner. He is making way for Jesus, calling people to turn back to God. He's essentially saying, people, get your head into gear, get your stuff in order, because something new and amazing is coming. The Messiah is coming. So turn back to God. Repent. Turn away from sin and get ready for Jesus. John did this thing called baptism. This dipping was a dipping under the water. He did this in the river Jordan. In Jewish belief, this was a symbol of cleansing, of the cleansing of sin. For John, it meant a symbol of people turning away from their sins. Sin is the word that is used for rebellion against God, for living a life against God. And so to repent is to turn away from sin and turning to living for God. And that's the way to make ready for Jesus. That's the way to make straight paths for him. That's the way to receive salvation. That's the way to receive his hope. Repent and turn back to him. Because Jesus, as we're going to see, is the Lord of all. Jesus is the one in complete authority, even over death itself. Jesus is even greater than John the Baptist. Look with me at verse 7. And he preached, that's John preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." See, John is saying that Jesus is so great that he isn't even worthy enough to do the foot washing. The dirty, crusty foot washing. Jesus is so much greater. And Jesus is going to give a greater baptism as well. He's going to give the gift of himself, of his presence in the Holy Spirit. John is essentially saying here, don't look at me, look at Jesus. He is so much better than me. But the very first thing that Mark describes Jesus as doing is going to John and getting baptized. Look at me at verse 9. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Remember Mark's topic sentence? That Mark is all about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? Well, here are the first two proofs. John's statements about Jesus as prophesied, and the voice from heaven coming down when Jesus is baptized, and the Spirit coming down on him. This is like the heavenly ultimate vindication and proof of who Jesus is. The Spirit is symbolized in the dove, and the Father in the voice. Both reveal who God the Son is, the Son of God, the Messiah. And then Jesus does what we can't do. Look at me at verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Notice that immediately there again. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Yes, Jesus was tempted to sin, tempted in the wilderness, just as the Israelites were, but he did not sin. And yet, 30 years later, completely undeserving of it, he was put to death, dying the death that we deserved because of our sin, taking away our sin, giving us hope out of our sin, giving us a way out to life. This is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is the good news. And so over these next 10 weeks, we're going to see more of this unfold. We're going to see Jesus unfiltered, Jesus laid bare throughout the pages of Mark. We're going to see hope unfold. Perhaps you're here today in person or joining us online, and you are on the fringes with Jesus. Maybe your relationship with Jesus has maybe grown stale, a bit routine, a bit mundane. Maybe this is all new for you, and you haven't yet heard about this salvation that is in Jesus. I want to urge you, come back next week. Ask questions. Take a Bible, read the book of Mark, because what we'll find in this gospel is hope, life. Now and for eternity. This isn't a textbook. This is the good news of Jesus. Some of you may know that a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to fly down to Sydney for a night to visit my grandfather, who has been in hospital for about a month. This has been him back in 2019. We're both looking a lot younger there. That's my ordination. Pa doesn't look like this anymore. He's very small and probably doesn't have much time left on this earth. Pa, as he is known to us grandchildren, believes in Jesus. He's been inspirational and instrumental in my walk with Jesus. And so I go to the hospital. I go to the hospital bed. Pa's looking very fragile and thin and sunken, as we haven't seen him before. We have a bit of a chat. He gets a little bit tired and he goes off to sleep. And so, as there always has been with Pa, there was a Bible nearby. And so I thought, oh, you know, well, we're doing Mark in a couple of weeks. I should probably crack open and do some work and be productive. But there was a problem. As I began to read, I began to weep. Because as I opened up Mark's gospel and read these very words which we just read, I knew the difference that Jesus makes. I knew that death would not be the end for Pa, but just the beginning of eternal life with him. Pa knows this, I know this, that because of Jesus, the powers of sin and death have been destroyed. We know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. We know the gospel. That's the difference that Jesus makes. Jesus isn't just good advice. He is good news for you today. It's real. It's life-changing. Life-restoring, eternity-assuring. Today, if you haven't yet turned to him, make way for Jesus in your life. Turn and repent and believe the good news. Because the very first words from Jesus' lips recorded in Mark is going to be this. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in this world you haven't left us alone. But you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the good news for us and for the whole world. We pray that in these next weeks that we may grow in our clarity and vision for who Jesus is. We pray that you'd help us to turn to him with all our lives and know of his salvation day by day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.